Daniel chapter 6. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they should be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. So obviously the king was looking for 120 men who he could depend on, rely on. And then over those he put three. Daniel was one of those three. Verse 3. Then this Daniel began to distinguish himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Now, in the last chapter, the fall of Babylon, the queen mother, testified that Daniel had an extraordinary spirit, or a spirit of the holy gods. And we see now that Daniel, under Medo-Persia, by the way, Daniel was a high ruler in Babylon. Now Medo-Persia is the kingdom, and apparently the reputation of Daniel carried over, and right away he's put in a high position also, and he's beginning to distinguish himself among the three commissioners over the 120 satraps. It says, the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. In other words, Daniel was going to be president under the king. Daniel was going to be second in command, just as Joseph was under Pharaoh. God was blessing Daniel. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence or corruption, inasmuch as he was found faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Now, if you think politicians going after other politicians, looking with a magnifying glass through everything that they might have produced or done, if you think that that's something new, we find it in the 6th century B.C., and it was against Daniel this time. The good news is, no matter how much they looked, they couldn't find anything. Then these men said, we shall not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. Ah, we've looked over everything, but there's one thing we haven't looked into. Maybe the law of his God requires him to do something that could be offensive to the Medo-Persian kingdom. And by the way, this Daniel was well known in Babylon. As I mentioned earlier, there were two prophets in Babylon. Ezekiel was a prophet to the exiles. Daniel was a prophet in the king's court. And Ezekiel apparently knew Daniel, or heard much about him, because in Ezekiel the 14th chapter and verse 20, it says, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their son or their daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. So the prophet Ezekiel declared that he put Daniel in the class of Noah and Job and called them righteous. They did right. They were good people. Fault could not be found with them. And so Daniel is among those. He's elevating himself, not purposefully, but because of who he is, he's being elevated in the king's eyes. And so these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, live forever. Start out with a great compliment. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, the high officials, the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now you can just imagine the king, Darius, here sitting back and thinking, wow, these men are recognizing my greatness, and they want to make a law so that no one asks anyone else any petition except for me. We'll continue tomorrow. Pastor Dennis, RealityCheckSeminars.com.